heard the phrase to be or not to be. That comes from a widely known and quoted line in modern literature, Shakespeare's Hamlet, as he contemplated death or suicide, to be or not to be. The title of the message this afternoon is To See But Not to See. So I figured you'd associate that, and so that's why I gave it this title. But to see but not to see is how the people of Israel could be described in Deuteronomy chapter 29. If you would turn there, please. Deuteronomy chapter 29. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and as I read these verses, I'm going to emphasize the words that have to do with seeing. Deuteronomy 29, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Ye have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh and unto all his servants and unto all his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Notice the words eyes, the word seen, and see. And this is how many Christians could be described. You see, the Israelites had experienced what we read there in verses 2 and 3. They had seen great temptations. Those are the trials that God put upon the Egyptians. The signs and the miracles at the Red Sea. Manna from heaven, water from the rock, and all the things in the following verses, verses 5 through 9. Verse 5, how that their clothes didn't get old, their shoes did not wax old upon their feet. They did not eat bread, but God gave them manna from heaven. Verse 7, how they defeated those two kings. 8, how they took their land. And so forth. All these miracles, all these things that they had seen with their very eyes. But then you get to verse 4. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. Why? Why wouldn't God give that to them? God hadn't granted it to them. Why not? They had a heart problem. Let me read you this verse from chapter 5 and verse 29 of Deuteronomy. Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. You know what God desires in you? Oh, that there were such a heart in you, that you would fear God, that you would keep his commandments always, that it might be well with you and with your children forever. Oh, that you had that kind of a heart. And even at this time, the children of Israel did not have that kind of a heart. Folks, it is possible for us, people of God, saved from the slavery of sin as they were saved out of the slavery of Egypt, on our way to victorious Christian living, they're on their way to the promised land. That's not a picture of heaven. That's the picture of victorious Christian living. It's possible for us to be just like them and have a heart that is not the way it should be with the Lord. How many times did Jesus have to chide his disciples for their heart? He would perform miracle. He had fed the 5,000, then they got on the boat and they got across to the other side, and he chided them for the fact that you still don't believe. You just saw me feed the 5,000 and now you can believe it. That I could take care of this storm. The problem with a heart problem is that you can see, but you can't. That's paradoxical, you see, but you can't. They had seen these things, but they had not seen these things. What am I saying? What is it saying right here? To see, but not to see. Perhaps this illustration will help a little bit. I was telling Rod and Carol as they picked us up that we went to Audie Murphy's memorial in France. Audie Murphy, I don't know if you know the name, at age 19 received the Medal of Honor for Valor in single-handedly holding off a company of German soldiers for an hour in January of 1945 before leading a successful counterattack. And he was wounded, and he was out of ammunition. After the war, when he was asked why he had seized the machine gun and taken on an entire company of German infantry, he said, because they were killing my friends. Well, there's a memorial to the battle there in Holzwehr, France, that my wife and I stopped at on Thursday, March the 9th. And so we went to that memorial that was erected in the very place the battle took place. And so we drove up and we saw some cars and we thought, well, they're tourists like we are. And there wasn't any place to park before the memorial. It was just a slender dirt road. And so we went on beyond it just a little bit. And we both got out of the car. We were renting a car that we picked up in Germany, so it had the German tag on it. And we're in France. And as we got out, we're walking. Those men were kind of eyeing us suspiciously. And so we got up there, and I was, you know, taking pictures. And you'll see some of these pictures. I was taking pictures of the sign about Audie Murphy and of the memorial and so forth. And so they kind of asked, what are you doing? Why are you here? Where are you from? And I replied, well, we're from the United States of America. We're here because Audie Murphy was a great warrior, and we're proud Americans, very patriotic. And one of the guys who could speak English spoke up and said, all American? He said, yes, we're all American. And then all of a sudden, they warmed up to us. How am I using that in this illustration? You know what? We had seen the memorial. But they didn't know if we were seeing the memorial. So far, do you get what I'm saying? Are we just tourists to see something? Or is there something in our heart that we knew what we were seeing? And folks, that's what was happening with the children of Israel. Did they really see what they were seeing? They really weren't. And do we see what God wants us to see? We see miracles taking place around us all the time, but do we see it? Do we understand it? Does it affect us? Does it impact us? Even up until this point, these people are not even impacted. They don't see what God wants them to see. Simply having a desire to know God's word is not enough. That's a head issue. Should ask this further. Why do you want to know God's word? That question deals with the heart. Why? You see, if it's just a head issue, you just want to win Bible trivia games. But if it's a heart issue, it's because, you know what? I want to know the Lord. I want to know more of who He is. I want to know more of how I can serve Him in a better way. So if you're going to understand God's word, you must rely upon Him to give you understanding. As you see here, God had not given them eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to perceive. He had not given it to them. Why? Because they weren't ready for it. They had never come to the place where they would truly see what God wanted them to see. There's a verse that I often use in my devotions. I pray this verse. It's found in Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Jesus has appeared to his disciples. He had walked with the two on the road to Emmaus. And now he's explaining to his disciples, they're all there together. And the Bible says this, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. He had to open their understanding. And if you're going to understand the scriptures, folks, he has to open it to you. You can read all day long, but unless God gives it to you, you're going to see the words on the page, but you're not going to see them. Why is it that somebody can read their Bible and come away just completely encouraged and, wow, what a blessing that was, and somebody else can read the same passage and it doesn't impact them at all? Because they saw what you saw, but they did not see what you saw. And here you've got people who have seen tremendous miracles. They've seen the Bible, and it's never impacted their heart. Many Christians are like Moses. You say, well, that's a good thing. But let me ask you something. Did Moses go into the promised land? He did not. Did Moses see the promised land? Go to Deuteronomy 34, just a couple of pages after. I want you to note something. Verses 1 through 4 of Deuteronomy 34, Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. Did he see it with his eyes? Yes. And all Naphtali and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea and the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Jacob, unto Isaac and unto Abraham, unto Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses saw it, didn't he? But he didn't see it. He did not see it the way the children of Israel saw it. And he so desired to do so. One time, he came back to the Lord and said, Lord, please let me go. God says, don't ever ask me again. Why? Because of something he had done that was blaspheming to God's name. You know, it's possible to see something theoretically and not see it experientially. Moses saw the land theoretically, but he never experienced it. And so to many people, their Christianity, their relationship with God, really is only theoretical. It's not experiential. And you're missing out on so much. Too many Christians live theoretical Christian lives. They can see what it takes to walk with the Lord, but they are not living an experiential Christian life. God, like he did to the children of Israel, wants to give you a heart to perceive. Verse 4 of chapter 29, he wants to give you eyes to see and ears to hear, but he cannot because your heart is full of unbelief. There's idols there, and your reason for wanting to see it is not right. It's wise to pray from your heart, please, Lord, open my understanding that I might understand the scriptures. I would challenge you this week to get into the habit before you have your devotions is just to pray that verse. If you don't know that verse, it's Luke 24, 45. And as you, before you even start reading your devotion, saying, Lord, even as you did to your disciples, please open my understanding that I might understand the scriptures. And then ask yourself, challenge yourself, now why am I praying this? Why do I want to understand the scriptures? And therein lies the heart issue. Why? Lord, because I want to get to know you more. And you know what's going to happen? If that's true, he's going to open the scriptures. And your understanding is going to expand.